What to do about certain banks?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. About a year and a half after the financial crisis began, Congress could decide this week on an overhaul of the banking system. Now, for months, talk has been of streamlining the oversight of banks, but today several outlets, including the Financial Times, are reporting that the Federal Reserve may keep control over some of those banks. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
The latest proposal has the Federal Reserve overseeing the 23 largest banks. That's places like B of A, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, any institution that has more than $100 billion in assets. That's different from the original plan, which had been to let one agency regulate all banks. Tim Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, has said the Fed is the only place that's really qualified to oversee the core of the banking system. Several banking associations have been pushing for the Fed to retain some control. Critics of the Fed say it did such a bad job handling the financial crisis and overseeing institutions in the years leading up to the crisis that it shouldn't be allowed to keep those responsibilities. Presidents of the regional Federal Reserve banks have also come out strongly in favor of the new plan. They stand to lose the most power if the Fed stops overseeing mid-sized banks. Several hundred of those mid-sized banks say they would like to stay under the Fed's control, but it's still not clear what's going to happen to them. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Today, the French President Nicolas Sarkozy pledged European support for Greece through its debt crisis. The Greek Prime Minister, George Papandreou, was in Paris today meeting with Sarkozy. He'll be in Washington, Papandreou, later this week with a visit with President Obama. Despite the European camaraderie, markets are mainly flat across the pond. Shares are down very slightly. In Asia, a different story. Markets surged again today by 2% or more. Wall Street opens today after another week of gains. The Dow was up nearly 2.5%. The S&P rose by more than 3%. The NASDAQ was the big winner last week, gaining nearly 4%. Hard to imagine now, but there was a time when the NASDAQ, with its tech stocks, had a whole lot more zing to it. This week marks the 10th anniversary of the peak of that bubble. A decade on, a lot of those stocks are mired in values about half of what they were. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is with us this morning to talk about how to commemorate this anniversary. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
Why did tech stocks start tanking in the first place?
Because they were priced at insane levels relative to their earnings. The NASDAQ had run up 80% in a year, and people said, my God, what have we done? And if you look at a chart from those days, you see the thing just started heading down, and still today is less than half of what it was, even though many of the companies that have survived are much better than they were and much richer. Their stock prices are still down from what they were 10 years ago. Microsoft, Cisco, Oracle, their stocks are still way down from what they were.
Couldn't, when we were sort of climbing that mountain, Alan, back in the 80s and 90s, couldn't we see this coming?
I mean, with all due respect, I saw it coming, and I kept saying no tree grows to the sky and trotted out every cliche I could think of, and it didn't make any difference. There were about maybe half a dozen of us senior business journalists who kept saying that. We were just sort of overrun. Until one day, suddenly, we became prophets.
And what lesson did we learn, O prophet?
Well, the lesson I learned is if everyone's telling you to buy a house or everyone's telling you to buy tech stocks, well, that's probably the time you should think of doing something else.
What are the tech stocks of today, do you think, Alan? What sectors should we watch for the next bubble?
Well, the obvious one, a long-term U.S. Treasury securities, because I don't doubt the Treasury's ability to print dollars and repay its debts, but I think interest rates on these things, like many people think, are going way, way up. And if you buy a 30-year Treasury now, I think you're going to come to regret it.
So then how's this going to pan out? Who's going to be affected by this?
Well, anybody who owns 30-year Treasuries is going to see the value of his investment way down when the interest rates on them go way up. And my bet would be over the life of this, you'll probably lose 25 or 30% of your money. But I guess we'll have to reconvene in 30 years and see if I was right.
Our prophet, Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan with us this morning. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. and by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
In Atlanta today, J.P. Morgan Chase is going to be defending a tire dump. You heard right. The bank is in trouble for failing to clean up thousands of old tires on some property that the city thinks it owns. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has more.
Whether J.P. Morgan should be responsible for cleaning up the abandoned lot in Atlanta will be up to the judge. But Cassandra Torian says the situation the bank finds itself in will only become more common thanks to all the foreclosures we've seen over the past few years. Torian is a bank analyst with Bellrock Capital.
There's banks of all sizes that now are not only in the banking business, but also in the property management business for the time being.
She says the firms will have to load up on lawyers and create asset management teams to deal with issues like taxes and maintenance for all the properties they now own.
You know, their alternative would be to fire sale a lot of these properties. And, you know, no bank that I've spoken with thinks that that's a good idea.
She says banks are betting the better idea is to delay and pray that home prices rise and they can start selling again. Until then, does anyone have a lawnmower J.P. Morgan can borrow? In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
And finally, like a lot of people around the world, people were keeping up with the Oscars, not only by watching, but by getting tweets. Some notable messages sent out during last night's ceremony in Hollywood. Shh, I'm live tweeting from directly under Sandra Bullock's chair. That was from actor Rainn Wilson. The comedian David Wayne tweeted, "Looks like a young Victoria sweep." My favorite, by blogger Foster Kamer, who wrote during Oprah Winfrey's tribute to a Best Female Actor nominee. He said, "Oprah's about to tell everyone in the audience there's an Oscar under their seat." I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.